The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 551. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
It's low down on the throwdown.
The throwback right there. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale. All I got to say is, Flash! We got, you know, got Brett Murdoch in the house.
What up, people?
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Mangioma.
What's up? What's up?
All right, guys, we're back with another one. Manny, you asked me a question before I was doing an intro. I'll answer it now out of air, you know, because I just remember what we did. We are having a Metal Gear contest, and like we said on the last show, we're actually going to do the actual proper contest on the Thursday show, you know, and that's where you'll find out more details in that. But very exciting stuff. We'll give you, Manny, do you have like, you have that tweet like that you sent or something? You sent
us a picture. Yes, I do. I have.
Yeah.
Yes, I have I teased it on our Twitter account.
Yes.
So let me pull that up.
Yeah. Right. Again, well, but that's just for the end of the show, so maybe you could see it. But yeah, man, welcome back to another show. Let's get into these questions. Not a lot, but we got some good questions regardless. So let's get into it. First couple questions here are from Cyber Drones, otherwise known as Dre Day, who joined us for the first time live on the Thursday show. So, you know, this is how he mostly listens to us, you know, after the fact. But it was definitely cool having you live, you know, with us and stuff. So anytime you can, please join us. It's always fun when everybody joins us, you know. First question here. Gears of War Reloaded is a lot of fun to play, but I sometimes have issues finding lobbies. I think it has to do with underwhelming sales and other good games being released in a similar window like Silksong, Metal Gear Solid Delta, Helldivers 2, and Borderlands 4. And we're going to talk about Borderlands in a bit. Was Gears of War Reloaded released at a bad time? Is this another L for the Xbox? Now, before we get into it, here's what it says about sales. And even though this is an AI answer, I verified it to make sure. Because I think with AI, you always got to verify it. Could be hallucinating, which I learned today is apparently hallucinations are just baked into AI, apparently.
Yeah, it'll make up shit.
Yeah, I'm just saying like OpenAI, the people that pretty much popularized it, they admitted, yeah, this is an inherent problem. That shit is baked in. Well, like it would rather give you a wrong answer than just say, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't. It makes up an answer if it doesn't know.
Yeah.
Just doesn't say, I don't know. It cannot find information or something like that. It'll just give you an answer. All of them do it, by the way.
Yeah, they all do. But you know, regardless, I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Just be careful when you get answers, but I did verify this. Gears of War Reloaded was, what's up, Brett?
I was just going to say, even like, because like I've been using AI more to ask questions, and then a tip that I found is like, just even if you just ask twice, right? Like if I'm like, hey, yo, like, okay, perfect example. I've been playing Elden Ring, and somebody told me about a weapon called the Ripple Crescent Halberd, which scales with Arcane. Happens to be the build I'm using. I'm like, cool, can I like, the AI was like, yeah, you can even cast Bloodflame Blade on. Like, that's weird. I didn't think you could. So I asked it. I was like, can you cast Bloodflame Blade on it? And it goes, no, you can't cast Bloodflame Blade on it. I'm like, okay. So like literally sometimes you just have to ask it a second time and it'll be like, no. So like it's not even that much effort. Like you don't have to ask AI and then Google it. You could just ask it again. And 95% of the time it's not going to hallucinate the same.
Hilarious. I agree with that. And by the way, I just realized, since we only really have six questions, may as well go off on a fucking detour. But Brett, you'll love this one. I purposely asked it, and I knew what the answer was, Ray, but I purposely asked it. Is there an iPad Air with the M4 chip? It says, yes, there is, and it was released on bracket date. It doesn't exist, Brett.
Of course it doesn't.
It just said it was released on bracket date. Like, with the brackets really date.
Said bracket date?
It really said that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were... Oh, my God. Okay. Yep. That's... Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And again, the M4 iPad Air does not exist. It's not a thing. Let's get into... I'll read the question again. Gears of War Reloaded is fun to play, but I sometimes have issues finding lobbies. I think it has to do with underwhelming sales and other good games being released in a similar window like Silksong, Metal Gear Solid Delta, Helldivers 2, and Borderlands 4. Whereas Gears of War Reloaded released at a bad time, is Xbox taking an L here? So anyway, here's the numbers. Gears of War Reloaded has seen low sales on the PS5, with reports indicating only 259,000 copies on PS5 by early 2025, according to Alanya Analytics. I can't pronounce that because that's fucking tongue twister. This is contrasted with nearly 1.3 million total players across all platforms in August 2025, with the majority downloads coming from Xbox and Game Pass. This limited adoption on PlayStation, despite being the series' first appearance on the platform, suggests a struggle for success on Sony's console. So, yeah, why is Gears of War Reloaded selling bad on PlayStation?
Why anybody would want it?
Why not? It's a great game.
It's not. Not it's this not, one. This is
it's old. Not a, it's not really a great game.
It's not the Ultimate Edition. We already had the Ultimate Edition. We
PlayStation guys never played that.
That's come on now. They got PCs.
No, they don't. They never played it.
Then they don't need to play it. It's not for them. It's not for them.
Damn.
If you want, think about it. If you want to play a game, you'll find a way to play a game. I don't want to hear that. We've already talked about it before about getting other consoles, right? We can't just start saying, oh no, you should only have this. We've talked about this. If you want to play a game, you could play it on whatever system.
Yeah, but you know there's console loyalists, you know?
Gears of War that we have, this Ultimate version, this Reload version, is the version that was originally on PC through Windows only. It has a whole section, a whole chapter against a Brumah that was never on the X. And when it was a big deal when they then added that in the Ultimate Edition that came out in 2015, we were all thrilled we got it. And then when they announced Reload, it's like, what's this? We made it look a little prettier, but it's still the same way, which is why they were giving it away for free for people that had that version. Yeah. So I'm not surprised. And then I remember I talked about even with the beta before, and I sent screenshots that I had issues trying to find connections with that. And most people aren't playing that. They are playing Gears. I still have a bunch of buddies that still play. They play Gears 4 online because of the Horde mode. They play Gears 5 online. There's still content and things going on, challenges and tournaments and things. So to then say, all right, stop doing all that. Let's go back. It's not carrying over your profile from Ultimate. Meanwhile, it's the same damn game. You know, when my ship loads up and it's like, oh, you're level 1. I'm like, no, I'm not, bitch. I'm not level 1. And I'm not doing this again. So I stopped. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So me and my buddy, we just did the campaign like we usually. That's what we do. We've been all of them, beaten this one multiple times already. And that's it. But I'm really not surprised that it didn't sell well. Because, again, people don't want this. I think it would have sold better if this was the collection that we know they've been working on for PC. Maybe not for consoles, but for PC. They said they were working on this shit. That's what people want. They wanted 1, 2, and 3. If there was a collection for 1, 2, and 3... I'm sure a lot of people would have bought it because people like packages, right? They like total packages. They like to know, oh, I got it all. So this is just this one game, and then you see some reviews and you find out, oh, it's just bullshit. Oh, no. It's not that special. So, no, not surprised.
Yeah. I also think all the games coming out are another factor as well. That's a lot of games that dropped, you know?
As much as cool to see Gears of War, finally on PlayStation, at the same time, it's like when you look at what it's sort of against the, you know, I know people are having, you know, issues with the, you know, they're claiming to have issues with the latest Metal Gear title, but it looks a lot better. It's a nice looking game.
When you said claiming to have issues, I thought you were talking about Borderlands. That's the other one that's supposedly having issues.
Both of those games seem that they're doing pretty damn well for games that look like they're having issues, right? But then there's also, you know, Silksong, you know, which is also like a beast, which, you know, you guys talked on the the last Throwdown, the previous Throwdown before last, that that game was crashing fucking stores.
Oh,
so many people fucking didn't you guys talk about
that? Yeah, we did. Like basically everybody was trying to download it and just crashed everything. Yeah.
You're crashing a bunch of online stores because people wanted it. No, Gears had the misfortune of essentially being put out in a beast week.
Wasn't it at a discount price? Because I sold on PC for $40, and that wasn't on sale. That's just the price.
Silksong's 25.
Silksong's 25. No, Gears I mean 40.
That's what I'm saying. It was like on a sale price. It's not a reduced price. It's not at one of these high 60s or 80s or any of that.
No, bullshit. It's a 40. It's a cheap game. It's a cheap game. So, but I think it just whatever was around it was just literally overshadowing. But I also blamed that on the fact that everybody was trying to get out of the way of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Rich, what's up, man?
Two quick things. Silksong is $20.
Oh, $20.
So that's half the price.
Yeah.
That's half the price. And this game came out the exact same day as Helldivers on Xbox. So there it is. You know, all the other stuff that you guys mentioned coming out, but that game also came out the exact same day. So, it's an old game.
I got a question. Yep. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, go ahead.
This might be a dumb question or not. Is Helldivers 2 more popular than Gears of War?
Probably currently at the moment is
at this point in time. Yeah.
Not overall, like in the grand scheme of things, but currently. Yeah.
I mean, going against an old, you know, like a relatively, well, that's not an old game. Helldivers is only a year or two old, you know, right. It's a year.
Probably less than that.
Completely different game too. It's Gears is not a live service game. It's not like what's going on with 4 and 5 where they're constantly putting content and they got packs and outfit and skins and weapons. All that's the other versions. That's not Reload.
Like I wonder if Helldivers 3 came out and it had to fight against Gears of War E-Day or Gears of War 6 or whatever. Like I wonder which one would generally be more popular.
Well, it depends on what version Gears we're getting. We know the title, but
we don't
know
what type of game E-Day,
No, but we don't know what that is. What is that? Is that going to have co-op? Is that going to have two-player, four-player, like with Gears 3? Is that going to have any of that stuff? Is that even... Oh, they talked about an open-world game. Is that Helldiver? Is it going to be a completely different gameplay?
Well, I have a response to this question. I would just say this, quoting Phil Spencer... Until you have the game in your hands, don't listen to a damn thing that I say or what Microsoft says. This game doesn't exist until we actually are playing it. So,
fair enough.
I remember when when Halo Wars was first teased, and it was just a post in Halo, like, oh, this is going to be a big open world. And then we saw it's like, oh, it's an RTS. What the fuck? What is this shit? It's like, oh, man, who asked for this?
And then, so you think this game is not going to be a third-person game? Is that what you're suggesting?
It could be that, but they keep talking. Well, early on, they talked that the next Gears was going to be a big game.
Yeah.
That they were teasing it with Gears 5. It was a big portion of Gears 5. We're on a skiff. You can travel to a different location. And they were testing out, hey, do you guys want this? Would you like to go in different routes and have different missions? You know, get the open-world experience. And people said, sure. Well, why not? Yeah, that'd be cool.
Why not?
And then next, you know, we hear about this. And where is it? It's a prequel back on the main planet. While everything is nice and calm, we are going to see shit hit the fan, which presumably means that you're going to be running through the streets, right? It's the city. It's still happening. So maybe it's going to be, what's the Japanese, was it Japanese or Chinese game? I think it was Japanese, where Alien Wars or whatever, where you're running through the streets and aliens just popping out of the ground and you're shooting them.
Earth
Defense Force, okay. Yeah. There you go. Maybe it's something like that, where you're running around. Now it's happening in real time. So could it be something where it's just one of those jump in, jump out, grab your buddies, maybe like a Division type of thing, but in Gear? Maybe. We don't know. We don't know the type of game. We just know that what they had hinted of, well, we were thinking about doing world type and just changing things up and something very linear, get open, do what you want. Hey, you. A lot of people bitch it would be their own Gears. Why do I have to play as Marcus? Why can't I make it my own guy? Well, we'll look into that for the next game. This is the next game. So who knows? Maybe you can make your own Gear guy running around the streets.
I just want to mention that I think my question was answered by Adam's response. Well, it's definitely Helldivers. If you have to bring up all these stipulations in order to justify the validity of
two different games. They're two different types, but that's the thing. They're two different guys. I wouldn't compare that. I would compare to something else.
Oh, I'm just talking about in terms of popularity, not in terms of whether they're.
It's a different audience now.
I hate to be that guy, but like.
You know you like being that guy, Brett. Stop bullshit. Yeah. You like being that guy.
Actually, no, you're 100% right. I don't mind being that guy at all. It is the same, man. Like I've played Gears, and I get Gears multiplayer is its own beast, but it's close enough to what I've seen to Helldivers. Like, you know, it's and you could just boil it down to like it. Gears felt almost like an extraction shooter before extraction shooters were a thing. So it's not the same thing, but you know, just because it's not the same flavor of ice cream doesn't mean it's like not appealing to the same people. So I do think that Helldivers really it's got to be taken into the community.
If you talk to anyone that's in junior high school and hell, probably tell me about Gears, your experience with Gears. How do you feel about Gears? And probably like, what the hell is Gears?
Because
nothing's been around relevant. I don't know. It's been up.
But there's that RTS game or.
A tactics?
Gears tactics? Yeah. Yeah, that saved the franchise.
Oh, yeah, right? That went the way of the toilet bowl.
All right, any other thoughts on Gears of War Reloaded and the low sales?
Should have had a collection. I'm telling you, I have a feeling they have it already, just like they said they were working on. They have it, and they're like, no, let's really milk this. Release each one separate, and then once they've run there, they dried up in sales, then we'll release the bundle. We've seen this a million times in other franchises, and I think that's what they were trying to go with, and it backfired. Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the previous comments about, you know, releasing the game, well, there's just so many things coming out, it didn't help.
You know, it was
not a new game.
Yeah, it was a stacked few weeks for sure. All right, man, let's move on here. Another question from Mr. Cyber Drones. With the upcoming ROG, Xbox Ally, and other handhelds, will Valve reveal a new Steam Deck anytime soon? So I talked about this during CES time, so I'll reiterate it again. During CES, I interviewed, you know, like the main guy behind the Steam Deck, and I asked him, like, hey, what's up with the Steam Deck too? You know, you have all these competitors, what's happening here? And they basically said that they're waiting. They had already previously said they're waiting for like a big like upgrade in order to justify like giving you a new system. They don't just want to give you like better graphics or whatever. Like, I know they did the OLED version, but they specifically said that they're waiting for a chip to come out that has an 8 to 15 wattage TDP. Because currently, what's out there now, it's like 30 watts, which is like double what they want. It would just drain the battery and all that. So they're waiting for it, you know, a chip from whatever manufacturer to hit that sweet spot of 8 to 15. And then they want to release it because they don't want you to get like this big, beefy handheld that lasts for like an hour. You know, which is kind of what you get now, you know?
Well, last week they did that release, the patent for the new hardware that came out last week.
Yeah. So basically they are working on it, but they're waiting, you know, for that chip with that kind of power wattage. What's up, Brett?
Oh, I just said I just appreciate, like, I'll be honest, I respect the shit out of that kind of attitude of, like, look, we want to give you a better system, but we don't really feel it's worth the value. We're not just trying to milk our audience mm-hmm. for everything that they're worth, which is honestly weird and kind of refreshing. So like, and like they, and it's even nice that they're very transparent about what that means. Like, we need, you know, like you said, a chip that comes in around 15 watts. It's going to be a significant upgrade. Otherwise it could be not what we want to give you. And I know a lot of people are jumping on the handheld market, and they're coming out with, you know, like, oh, here's a $1,200 handheld that we just crammed as much of a PC into as possible. And I appreciate that Steam is going kind of for the other end. Like, they're really interested in the user experience, the end user experience. Like, not, they want it to not only play the games, but feel comfortable playing the games, be a right weight, feel the right fit. And as somebody who, like, you know, really loved the Steam controllers and a lot of the stuff that's the hardware that Steam puts out, it really feels like they put more than an Apple level of care into their hardware. So, like, if you want more power, we have, you know, the ROG Ally is making, like, I don't know, like a new one every year or whatever. So
pretty much.
So and that's kind of proven Steam's point, is it's getting lost in the noise. This, you know, the ROG Ally 2, not a big deal. Steam Deck 2, going to be a big fucking deal.
I also think that it's a lot of backtalk with all that, because like you just said, they know that their OS is being put on all these other devices, and they're like, why cannibalize that? Let them go. Let those come out. Let people go log in, buy all their fucking games, make some money off of that, and then we come through the back door.
And like, yeah, hey, no, I agree with that, and that was going to be the point I was going to make. Like, there is no rush for them to get a Steam Deck 2 right now, because now, if you do want a Steam Deck 2, you could actually get the Legion Go S, which is available right now with SteamOS. But I think that's giving Valve time until somebody comes out with a chip with that power wattage where they could be like, okay, here's the Steam Deck 2. But in the meantime, they were already getting their money from their OS being on other platforms. So it's like a win-win situation, not only for them, but for us. And Brett, to your point, you said it feels like these other manufacturers put out something every year. No, they actually do put out something every year. I just thought about it. Asus, MSI, and Lenovo, right? Ever since they dropped their new handhelds, they've had a new iteration every single year. But Valve is like, no, we're not going to do that. And I think that, like, to your point, that's good. That's good for the customer. So you don't feel like you got ripped off,
Yeah, and you've got options. And like you said, like, no matter what, they end up in Valve's ecosystem, so Valve wins.
Yeah. fucking MSI released two handheld iterations in 1 year. With the claw.
The first one was a mess up.
That it was a hot mess,
It really shows that, like, Steam building their own Linux OS system, like, that was a fortune. That was like a Miss Cleo fucking moment. By them doing that, they have made it possible to be the better running version. Like, I think Windows is going to be coming too late with their slim down version, and I don't think they're going to be able to compete with Steam's OS, which means, like, they were looking so far down the road of, like, if we build a superior OS that can go on a handheld, then we can pretty much corner a portion of the market and get a lot of people into our ecosystem. And it feels, if they didn't do that in some Nostradamus intentional way, then they... luckiest goddamn break ever, because it is working for him.
Yeah. But shout out to Assyrian Air Force. He's in the chat. He goes, Aya Neo just released a new handheld during the podcast. Yeah, those motherfuckers are always dropping Windows 11 handhelds. It's crazy.
I feel like that strategy is valid. The Steam Deck strategy is valid by Valve. But also, I don't think they have another choice, because Steam and Valve, they're not a hardware company per se. So, it's much easier for Lenovo and Asus.
I'll put it in the chat.
And the rest of them, because all they do is hardware.
Yeah,
so it's true. Much easier for them to churn out different devices. For Valve, I feel like it takes more time to.
Yeah, but
of course.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the fact. So what you just said, Carlos, about them releasing consoles all the time, that's also to. Valve's benefit, because they wouldn't keep releasing these unless there was an interest, right? And everybody in the back of their mind is like, okay, this is cool, but I want that Steam Deck too, So all that shit's helping them out in the end. Go ahead, Brett.
Yep, it's building. And I kind of forgot what I was saying because I was listening, active listening for the win. I think it's good for the brand. Oh, that's what it was. Steam kind of built their brand in kind of two prongs. One, obviously their storefront, but to a lesser one, Steam Deck, and them dabbling in some hardware. Like, they haven't done a lot of hardware. They aren't a hardware company, but I've owned every piece of hardware that they have released, and I'll tell you, like, they're all, like, we all have the Steam Deck. We, like, the second you get your hand, you're like, this thing is actually really well made. Like, it leads a lot. I don't know, Tony, like, I'd be really interested to hear, because you've had a lot of handhelds in your hand. Like, does the Steam Deck strike you as particularly well made?
Absolutely.
Compared to some of the other ones?
And at the end of the day, even though, yes, the other ones may feel a little bit more ergonomic, they obviously have more power, the Steam Deck still feels better to hold. You know why? Because it's light. It's light. These other ones, yes, they may have more ergonomics, but those ergonomics don't mean shit when it's so fucking heavy, you don't want to hold it, but the Steam Deck does have good ergonomics. So, no, it's still, even though it's like one of the oldest handhelds now, it is still really great to hold for a long time. So it's just exceptionally built, They you could tell Valve did not rush that shit. They were like, yo, we're taking our time designing this motherfucker. There's a couple of things, like maybe the analog sticks will be placed a little bit lower or whatever, but like just holding it, it's still great, man.
Yeah, and like in the back panels and shit, like it's. I really feel like Valve, whoever they've had engineering at Valve, has done a very meticulous, thorough, dare I say, autistic job at designing a thing. And like the Steam controller was excellently made. It was one of my like the second you got in your hands, you're like, God damn, this thing is nice. And the Steam Link, like honestly, filled a great purpose. I think that. Sunshine Moonlight, the people who developed it, they actually developed a better streaming or Steam Deck than Steam, and Valve needs to fucking hire those guys and make that shit official. But Steam's idea of like, hey, we're only releasing quality things is I appreciate it because they don't release a lot of hardware, but when they do, it is every single one of it, at least for me, has been a banger. And highly useful, like even beyond just like, oh, it's a new console, like, oh, the Steam Link, like I can fucking stream my games from one place to another. Like, granted, it's not the best for every game, and it's tough to do any Souls game on, like, because any bit of lag on that is tough. But there's a lot of games it works really, really well for, like a shocking amount. I played the entire game Kingdom of Amalur through that on my Steam Deck. So, like, it's definitely viable, and I think it's only going to be more so as it goes on. So I think that the last thing Valve needs to do is tarnish their reputation by putting out any kind of half-baked or unnecessary hardware without a clear delineation of its improvements. We talk about it all the time. Like, we used to have systems back in the day where when a new one came out, you could tell it was a new system. And I think that's if that's what Valve's going for, I support that shit 110% because I miss those days so much.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on here. This is from Ragnos21, a.k.a. Geno Breaker. He goes, I'll purposely be vague, but will certain social media comments from Sucker Punch employees on recent tragic events hurt Ghost of Yote's reception and sales? First of all, thank you for the vague part there. We all know what you're talking about, and we're not going to get into that, right? But this does give me an opportunity, if you guys will allow me a couple of minutes here, to say something that's been on my mind, right? Because, you know, the whole conversation of like, oh, freedom of speech has come up. Yes, you do have freedom of speech. Manny and I, you were talking about this the other day. You do have freedom of speech,
yeah,
but you don't have freedom of consequences. And to be even more specific, right? All of us here either work at a corporation or have worked for corporations, right? When you sign that contract, there's a clause in there that specifically says you will not do anything that will make us look bad, even in your public life. So if you're out there saying really bad stuff on social media, and think about this, nowadays, a lot of companies, when they're hiring you, what do? They go to your social media feed, right? Because they can use that to determine, oh, like, I'm not, let me finish, Manny. Like, they could, like, they could use that to determine, right? So yes, while you do have the freedom to say it, you are ultimately representing a company even on your off hours. So you shouldn't feel bad for anybody that got fired for making really, this is the only opinion part I'll say, really distasteful comments on online, you know? So I'm not surprised by that. I just wanted to get that off my chest before we get to the question. Go ahead, Manny. I know you wanted to comment on the whole, he just froze, never mind. Anyway, regarding Ghost of Yote, I'm good. Oh, go ahead, man. Yeah, go ahead, Manny. You're back now. What did you want to say about that specifically before I get to the Ghost of Yote part?
Well, yeah. Just to corroborate what you said. Yeah, exactly. You know, when you sign a contract, you know, especially if you're in the entertainment industry, they ask for everything. They ask for your social media. They ask for all of that sort of stuff. That's just the way that things are.
No, but again, just specifically say, if you will not make us look bad, they specifically say
you
that.
You won't say anything against our company, you know, say anything that will make us look bad. And I mean, we look, you know, James, if you want to talk about this, like James Gunn is a good example. What he said in the past negatively affected him and they fired him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
2009. It was way back
in 2009. So this is not anything new that's going on. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. So if you're saying things that don't go against the company or any of that sort of stuff, that you may find that you may not have a job anymore. These social media stuff has so much more of an effect on your working life. I always said, like, as a professional, like, you have, you know, you're trying, if you're selling products and all that sort of stuff, you trying to get as many people to read or watch or do your all that stuff. So why would you even try to, you know, sabotage the sales of your own product by saying something, you know, distasteful or saying something on there?
And why would you say something like that in this job market? You don't want to be fired right now. And also, in the last thing, I mean, I'll let you pick up after this. My views do not represent the views of my employee. It's not a fucking shield. That is not going to protect you, bro.
No, yeah, the views and opinions on this thing are my own. That doesn't mean a damn thing, you know. No, if you're afraid, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I mean, when I was at Nintendo, when you sign your all your paperwork and your NDAs and all that stuff, they constantly told us, you represent the brand. You mm-hmm. are Nintendo, right? That was a saying. And mm-hmm. anything you do in life, doesn't matter. If you go out and get in a bar fight or whatever, that reflects badly on the brand, right? Don't mm-hmm. do that. So yep. that's any company, right? You represent the brand. It doesn't matter if you're it's a Sunday or whatever. If you get drunk, if you act stupid, you get you murder somebody, that's all affects, you're gonna get fired. Yeah. Right.
That was also precisely why, if you guys know, why Chris wasn't on earlier episodes of Throwdown.
Yeah. Had to be careful.
At the time he was working at Nintendo. I think you got on when you got on here when we were working, when you were working Rockstar, right?
Yeah, Chris? Yeah, they were a little more open about those things.
Yeah, no, when you worked at Nintendo, you were a guest sometimes. That was it, because you had to be careful. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is really more of a PSA to our listeners. Guys, be careful. Don't say anything stupid. I could get you fired. You know, if you have opinions on certain things, talk to your boys. Don't post that shit online. We want you to remain employed, you know?
Not just that, but like...
to the internet.
Yeah, internet's forever. Go ahead, Brett.
Just come on. Just be a human.
Yeah.
I mean...
Thank you.
Like I'm the one here that can speak the most, but honestly, I'm gonna say very little because I'm mad. I'm really mad about this whole thing. Before anybody gets, you know, I'm sick of the comparisons to Luigi Mangione. It's not the same thing. Let's not talk about it the same way. But let's
not talk about it at all.
Yeah, Brett, be careful again. You know, I don't want to get.
I'm just saying. Regardless of opinions, you just don't respond to dialogue violence. And it's just as simple as that. I'm not making a political statement in any way. And again, I have no dog in this fight. My views do not represent anybody else here. They are entirely my own. But I just am of that mindset. Like, it's just, don't respond to dialogue with violence. That is escalation. Okay. You're talking about somebody who was having a debate, and whether or not you agree with them, and for the record, I don't give a shit. I can say I didn't agree with him. But I don't think that you shoot a motherfucker when they're trying to talk. And that's about all I can say with that before I start going off the fucking rails and getting all Irish on y'all.
Oh man, good stuff right there. And like, as Brett said, you know, he is the one here that can speak a little bit freely. But thank you for that. But anyway, so regarding Ghost of Yote, whether the comments made by these Sucker Punch employees who were fired, by the way, will affect game sales, I can't say it will, but I think I'm correct in saying that Ghost of Yote will sell less than Ghost of Tsushima. This is why. Every single, like, at least for the past 5 years or so, every single PlayStation sequel has sold less than the previous one. Last of Us 2 sold less. God of War Ragnarok sold less. Horizon Zero Forbidden Dawn or whatever sold less. So following that pattern, if Forbidden West, maybe I'm wrong, maybe this one will buck the trend, but Spider-Man sold less as well. So
I got a hot take.
Yeah, but anyway. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I think this is going to help sales. Oh. I think this is going to help sales.
Oh, really?
I genuinely do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like a company that's like, look, some of our employees did some shitty stuff. We're going to take accountability. They're no longer here.
we apologize. Like, oh my God, somebody in the industry is taking accountability. Like, that makes me want to buy Ghosts of Yotei.
Oh, you might be the minority because I've seen a lot of stuff online, people going, oh, they fired up. That's good. We're still going to boycott this shit. That's the shit I'm seeing.
That's not helping anything. That's not what we should be doing. That's honestly the opposite of what we as a community should be doing. When people are like, hey, I'm going to shove politics into games and just be just obnoxious or subhuman or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And the company's like, yeah, we don't tolerate that kind of behavior. Like, I appreciate and respect a company that doesn't appreciate or doesn't, you know, tolerate that fucking kind of behavior. And the fact that people have been employing people who have just been honestly just outright monsters because they think they're doing it for the right reasons, like, I'm so sick of that shit. And anybody who's listening, that's a call to, like, please don't use that as a reason to boycott it. What the fuck do you want them to do? They fired the people. You want them to burn down their house too? There's only so much somebody could do. Let a redemption arc be a fucking redemption arc. They've done what they can. They've apologized. That's like, you can't, that's all you can do, man. That's all you can do. They can't, like, what are they gonna thought police their employees? No, but like, hey, you can't, like, you know, be a dick to the highest degree and still have our support. It should just be as simple as that.
Were these people higher up on the food chain? Because usually it's people high up on the food chain that feel like they're invincible. We see that everywhere.
Yeah, I think one of them was a producer and stuff, you know? But it's like in every kind of level and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually a producer or creative director, but they're like, Adam's right. And like, I think that we should send like the fact, like, there are consequences for these actions, but like, I don't think that any tale where there's no redemption is a tale worth telling. And I don't know a less weird way to put that, but like, you always have room for the comeback story. You always have room for the underdog. You always have room for somebody to try and make themselves better. And if somebody is trying to make themselves better, even if they kind of suck, like, you should give them the opportunity to make themselves better. So while I don't think that this is a reason why people should actively go out and buy Ghosts of Yotei, because I don't think political discourse should inform your gaming purchases at all, I think that this should erase any biases, because, like, look, man, the people up top, they did the best that they could. They tried to handle the situation and resolved it as best it could be resolved. Sometimes you can't glue everything back together, but you get as close as you can, and I think that's what we have here. And if we still punish that kind of behavior, then what the fuck is the point about speaking up in the first place?
Brett, I'm gonna have to disagree.
Oh,
with a slight caveat, the only way this game will outsell the first game is if it's one of the best games ever made.
I didn't mean to say I don't think it'll outsell the first game. I don't think, I was replying more to like the original question. I don't think this will hurt their sales numbers. I think it may help their sales numbers.
Oh yeah,
but I do not think that they will be better than Ghosts of Tsushima.
You're right, Brett. They're not mutually exclusive. It could help, but it still won't help it outsell the previous one.
Nope. Yeah. No, but I don't think it's going to hurt it.
Thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, because that's a good point. With that game, look, let's call a spade a spade. Ghosts of Yotei is not going to sell well. One of them, for the reasons Tony mentioned, it's a sequel of a Sony first party game that usually doesn't do as well as the first game.
Yeah, it would legit buck the trend, Carlos, for the fast 5 years. Yeah.
Because let's be honest, most of them just play it safe. Mm-hmm. It's more of the same type of thing. Number two, it's a sequel of a game that has nothing to do with the predecessor.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people, including in this panel, that are upset because it's not part of the original storyline.
Uh-oh.
Your boy.
Uh-oh. Number three, you got people like Rich who want to play Shinobi and don't want to play anything else. Number four.
Like Samurai Games.
Hey, there you go.
And number four, there is a political aspect to why people won't want to play this game.
And Carlos, to be fair, that political angle was already there before this.
Yeah, it was way before this.
It was already there.
To be
there.
Fair to the recent situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We'll see. Again, I can't say whether it will be affected, but this game's not going to outsell the first one. No way. You know, again, look at the trend, you know, that's my Miss Cleo moment, you know? All right, move on. Actually, before moving on, I'll say this publicly. Hey, Brett,
What's up?
I want to say this, because I was like, should I tell Brett this offer? I'm going to say it publicly, man. I love the fact that you are the guy on the podcast that pops his fucking mouth off. But every single time when it comes to these hot bun things, you always deliver the shit very fucking eloquently and with grace. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's move on to the final three questions. We're going to end with some fun stuff, you know? Assyrian Air Force, three questions, and hopefully he's still in the chat. And they're all about PCs. The first one here is, what are your thoughts on Borderlands 4 being poorly optimized for PC? We got another one, boys. That's what my thought. Kind of slightly related to the last topic. I haven't looked into this because I've just been watching all the news about what's been happening. All I know is people are complaining. By the way, is this another Unreal Engine 5 game by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Brian, here we go.
There's no connection, though.
It sounds like, I mean, besides me, anybody else play this?
Crickets.
I couldn't find it for 30 bucks. Yeah. So I was like,
yeah, that's a whole other thing. So nobody, all right. Yeah. So
go ahead, Rich. I heard you say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I did play a little bit of it at PAX West, but that was led by the week or so
ago.
Oh,
that was that build. Yeah. So, I mean, I played it. The reviews going up on the Coalition. I played on the Xbox Series X. Put in a few hours. I haven't had any, no slowdowns, no crashes. Sounds like it is an issue with optimization on PC but not overall. I looked up online, people from PlayStation on PS5, because this one does not have a PS4 version or Xbox.
Well, yeah, long last gen, yeah.
Yeah, none of that. And they're not having issues either. So maybe they were like, all right, we only have enough time to focus either on the console, where are we going to make the most money? And they just went, all right, let's go console. Let's make sure that shit move on those platforms later. Because what was it? They had another patch that came out and it broke even more shit.
Oh, shit.
They said on the PC, yeah, there was another patch that came out. I'm like, oh, this made things worse. What the? Blah, 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 blah. So it's a shame. I mean, we've seen this. Usually it's reverse. Remember, we saw this with Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk went great on PC and then ran like crap on, at least on the older versions. You know, the Xbox One PS5 said it was all right. It was pulling decent numbers. But it's one of those, again, that we've talked about where we get that they want these games on all these places, right? Day one on all these platforms. But that takes time, that's money, resources. Clearly, a lot of these studios are skimping on some of these. They can't treat them all, which is why we're getting. It's not, it's a butter game across the board.
The butter game.
No. They said it's supposed to be on Switch 2. Is it out on Switch 2? Did it come out on Switch 2?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's out yet on Switch
2. Not yet, but it's listed, and that's one of the things it's listed as.
Yeah.
And for the cross-platform play, it's also listed as working with Switch 2. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Playing on a Switch 2 when your buddy's playing on a PC, a PS5, on an Xbox. I would love to do that to see how that works and see who drops the ball. Who is going to disconnect and lag this whole game to hell? Is it going to be the PC or the Switch 2? It's definitely going to be between those two. But I've had no issues. It's good.
Yeah, what's up, Rich?
So I have a question and a comment. First and foremost, the question, I don't know if you can answer this, Tony. Now, one of your colleagues, the Tom guy, is reviewing this game, right, on PC? Have they encountered any issues?
I can't talk about it because we talked about it on Thursday. Nobody got fucking review codes until, like, the last hour. So because of that, I haven't had a chance to ask him how it's running, you know? But he is running, like, an older rig with a 3070, I believe. So maybe he won't encounter his issues. Rich, I'm glad you brought that up. And then I'll let you, because I know you had a comment after this. Because I did, was speaking to another friend, and I don't know what kind of rig they're running, but they said they haven't had any problems with Borderlands 4 after the patch that just recently dropped. So this could be another kind of Batman situation where it's like some people it's fine, other people it's fucked up. But
that was about a graphics card too. It was some kind of compatibility with Batman. Remember, with certain graphics cards,
NVIDIA
cards, or
yeah, like
and that's
A Serial Network says the 5090 is struggling to get the game to run at 60 frames without frame generation, you know, DLSS. So it's not good, especially if you have a 5090, you shouldn't have to even turn on DLSS. And it should just be giving you that butter fucking frame rate from the jump, you know?
Shoot, majority of people that spend money on cards is because they don't want to do all the optimizing and tweaking. If they want the shit to run smooth as butter right out the box, they spend a $2,000 card.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Rich, what's the other thing you wanted to say?
Oh, I was just going to make a comment and say, in case Randy listens to this podcast, they better fix this issue on PC. He don't want the fans coming after him with pitchforks. Yeah. So better fix it.
Randy game. Pitchfork doesn't want pitchforks after him.
It's a fun game. It's a fun game. It's an approved game. So many things that I've had bitched. Many people have bitched about and fixed. They just straight up fixed. It's like, oh, finally. It's great. I mean, plain and simple. It's a quick one. Remember when you had to go get a vehicle? You had to go to one of those vehicle spawn stations to go get a vehicle. You're in a battle, they blow up your car, now you're on foot. Not anymore. Now, right on the D-pad, spawn your shit right underneath you. Boom. Good to go. You know, little things like that. You have a glider. You can pull a Link from the Breath of the Wild. You go and glide around. Oh, it's a fun game. It's a fun game. And then again, jump in, jump out, play with your buddies, and do that whole thing. And I love it. I love it. Fun game.
You're great, Sirius.
Great, serious.
but yeah, and Brian, have you been keeping up with this Borderlands 4 stuff on PC?
Yeah, I've been seeing a few things here and there. I watched this one guy who just couldn't launch the game. It just crashed every 5 seconds. It was some of the funniest things to watch. I've been seeing people where things just don't load in, like the actual textures don't load in, so the whole thing looks like a damn PS1 game. Also is hilarious. But my thing is, I was always very concerned about it because, again, it's almost like the holy trinity of just a bad time on PC, which is, it's an Unreal 5 game. It has de novo, because obviously that's always great, and it's an open world game. And those things just never seem to work well together.
Gears game is on Unreal 5. Open world also. I know it's five because they've said.
But it just seems like UE5 has just been really bad this gen. Maybe UE6 might solve things, but yeah, it seems like UE5 is just getting like a lot of bad rep, and it's well deserved in my opinion. But then again, there are some really good UE5 games that don't run like crap, which begs the question, what is wrong? I have no idea.
Oh, I know about you. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
Ever since Randy Pitchard opened his mouth about the pricing, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay away from this one. I don't care what. Well, I do care what he says, but in the sense of that's a stupid justification to say that real fans will buy it anyway. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
Yes, and I also put. Is it sugar or salt? I think it's sugar. Yeah, I also put sugar in my porridge as well.
Oh, man.
There you go.
So sugar! Good.
Oh, man. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say. I'm thinking about porridge. You know, I'm like, do Americans even eat porridge? Is that a British thing? So I was thinking, I was thinking, so can I have some more? You know, I think of porridge.
Damn right. Every day of my life, I eat.
There you go.
But it's a brown sugar one. Brown sugar.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say, Brian. It's like, remember how much, like, you know, when UE5 was showed off, like, you know, how much we were praising how great it looks. Now I just can't help but think of, Star Wars. You were supposed to be the chosen one, you know? It's fucking crazy, man, how the mighty have fallen. Or not even fallen, how the mighty have not lived up to expectations, you know?
Oh, yo, by the way, Tony.
Excuse me? Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Brian, we have a problem.
Uh-oh.
Remember, what's the studio that famously switched engines because their engine wasn't working well, notoriously, to start and switch to Unreal?
There's been a bunch of them, but the two that come to mind are the CD Projekt and...
Yes.
And that's the one. What was known as 343 and now known as Halo Studios.
The latter we can talk in another year.
You know?
CD Projekt Red, man. They went from their engine, which, you know,
in fairness to the UE engine, the CD Projekt Red engine was pretty bad too. But
yeah,
man, now they're going to Unreal. They're still gonna have problems, probably.
No.
Not in the house of Unreal.
Oh man. All right. Let's move on here. What are your preferences when buying a GPU? Do you care about the manufacturer? Do you need specific RGB? Like, what do you guys look for?
I look for not the most expensive one. that's the number one. And I look for Asus. I have a good track record with Asus, so I usually stick to them. That's if I can't get them, because, you know, sometimes when you're trying to get a GPU, when it comes out, you know, you'll get what you can. So yeah, I normally stick to the upper medium tier GPUs. And obviously I've switched from, I used to be more AMD focused, 15 years ago. But you know, the last 15 years I've been more NVIDIA focused.
You know, QL isn't like that.
QL is pissed right now. Yeah. Sorry, QL. I've tried, but yeah, the manufacturers really don't matter as much. If they're not available, if one is not available, so I'll just go with whichever is there. But normally Asus is a safe one for me.
Yeah. To quote Richard, I agree with everything that has been said. Like mid high, Carlos, how you said, that's what I look for. Yeah. Like, you know, the 80 version, if I can. 90, I'm not like, bro, no, I'm good. Like, let's make it. I don't really care about the lighting because I'm not looking at that shit. I believe my last one was also Asus, because I had a pre-built. I told this story before. That was during a time where you couldn't get a fucking 30 card. You know, it was just difficult. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go to NZXT, have a pre-built to get that fucking card, the 3080 Ti to be specific. I'm looking at it now. It doesn't say what manufacturer it is, but I'm going to just assume it's Asus, because everything else inside this bitch is Asus, you know? The motherboard, the fucking everything else is Asus. And Asus is just a good, even my monitors I got right here, bro, that I'm looking at, they're Asus as well. A very good company. But yeah, that's pretty much what I look for. Like, even though, you know, it's not like I'm married to Asus, but I just know them. But yeah, definitely. And also, you know, I mean, you're going to probably get this with a mid-high graphics card anyway, but I want a good amount of VRAM as well. Now, maybe not a crazy amount, but a good amount. You know, that's important. And also, can it fit inside my PC? That's the other one, because these things are getting huge, you know? So that's another thing you got to take into account. Because it gets to a point, the thing is, I don't, you know, this is not something I think about until like every 5 or 6 years. So by that time, I'm considering getting a new GPU. It's like just getting a whole new PC in general, you know? So it's like I got to start from scratch. Basically, because it's not like I'm buying one every other year, because I think that's the usual cadence for NVIDIA. Like, yeah. Anyway, Brian, I'm going to go to you as our resident PC guy. What do you look for? Oh, is Brian there?
Yep, I'm there. Yeah. He is.
All right.
I'm trying to think what's more important, and I think the form factor is more important, because I have a SFX style rig. So the small one, about the size, of the PS5.
Yeah,
that's considered small. Yes. So the only size cards that fit are like 2-slot cards, and most cards are either 2.5 or 3 slots. I think the 5090 is 3.5 slots, which I think is maddening. I mean, I still remember the days of like a 1-slot card, and it's like, oh, what? Like,
those 2 slots were the days.
Wait, what is anyone playing that needs that? What is it? Is it projecting a hologram right out of the screen? what is it doing that can make it special? Because it's the same fucking games that's on all the other platforms.
For me, it's more like future proofing. It's like, okay, I don't have to, if I buy like the beefiest shit possible, I don't have to worry for another 5 or 6 years. That's my thing about it. What about you, Brian?
Also, it's video rendering as well, because you can render lots of good videos with like a high spec GPU. So, because most of the reviews I see, they tend to focus on two main things, which is the game side, because obviously games, and also the productivity side. So can you render stuff, streaming, that type of stuff. I mean, I have heard of people that buy another PC just to stream stuff. So they have one PC to play the game, and then the other one is just for streaming and encoding and all sorts. So I guess if you're GPU is good enough, you can just do it on the same card. So yeah, it's very strange. So yeah, form factor is the first one, and then price is the second one, because I'm not spending $2,500 on a graphics card. I mean, that's actually more expensive than my mortgage. So no, I'm not dealing with that. So yeah, so I tend to go for the same thing as Tony, which is like the 80 Sears range, because I think that's good price for good performance and usually lasts long enough. I mean, my 1080 lasts me until like the pandemic, give or take.
Yeah, me too, Brian. Me too. That's how long it lasts. My 1080 lasted me up until the pandemic. Yep.
So yeah, you can get decent performance that lasts a lot. And as long as you're not playing any game that takes like stupid amounts of processing, and these days games are getting ridiculous, but at the same time, yeah, I don't know, might change my gaming habits. But yeah, the mid-range stuff, the mid to high range, I think that's a good point. I have never seen the point of like the top end cards, like the 5090s, the 3090s. I'm like, yeah, they're great, but why? I mean, you get like 90% of the performance for like 6% of the price. So yeah, that's what I do. In terms of AMD and NVIDIA, I've gone back and forth between them. It just depends on what day of the week and whether AMD actually gives a damn and is actually caring, because at first they were doing really well, and then they kind of had like a weird spot, and then they kind of had an upshot recently. So hopefully they'll continue this upshot and then I'll jump back into it, but else I'm stuck with NVIDIA.
There you go. All right. Anybody else want to jump? Adam, I see you shaking your head.
See, the big deal. It's like, I think I have a 3060. Maybe played only Street Fighter V. That's it. It's like, everything I do, if I play any PC games, is all on my Steam. That's
everything I do, I do it for Hugo.
I do it on
the Hugo.
Yeah, I play it on Hugo, or, you know, I have my Xbox. The PlayStation is downstairs, but when it comes to PC, I don't do it. I don't see it. And for a long time, way back in the day, it was a big deal. I was like, oh, yeah, I get it. I was like, oh, I started focusing. I'm just doing it. What's the point? And right now, I still don't see the point. It's going nuts. Oh, I got to get the one together. For what? What are you playing? And so the guys that I do know, big, besides you guys, like League of Legends and still play WoW. It's like, really, do you need those high-end cards? Does it boost something different? Throw you into like first person? No, just wanted to, you know, look fancy, like you said, a future proofing. But if you're not playing anything else, then what are you proofing for? What do you like? It's not happening. And then by the time something does come up, I bet you that one's going to need it, as we saw that before. Remember, it was like Batman and a few of them were like, oh, this, it's designed to run with killer setup. And if you're in a console gaming and you're going to get that, it's what the same one. It's like a triple double dip. Just get it on the one platform to know you're going to play. Not so much. Oh, well, it may look amazing. Do you have all the specs to make it look amazing? Not yet. How about not ever? Just play it on your fucking play. Just do it like that, because who knows? What if you do get all this shit? You play the game, you're like, wow, looks great. Game is ass. Gotta go. You know? And then what? I'm not sure. People don't.
Yeah. Brett, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, kind of. My thoughts have also gone all over the place. Not as quickly as like, you know, day of the week, but, you know, over the years, my preferences have changed. I was AMD. I'm kind of leaning more NVIDIA these days. But for the most part, like, I haven't built my own PC in a while. I've got a gaming laptop right now because GPUs have been crazy. Although I've heard that they're actually coming back down to MSRP, which is a step in the right direction. But that's also partially because they've just fucking raised the MSRP on them to account for, you know, people using them for mining and shit. So it's a mixed bag. But the long and short of it is, I don't really feel like I know enough to answer this question in any way that's not dated. But my dated answer is I'm kind of going with the NVIDIA right now.
Yeah.
All right. And Intel.
There you go. All right, man. Let's move on to the last question of the night, also from a Syrian Air Force. I mean, you already kind of know this answer, but sure. Does NVIDIA have a monopoly on PC gaming since it currently has a 94% of the GPU market? Yeah, you just answered your own question, bro. Yes.
Good night. Thanks.
94%. That sounds like a monopoly. So yes, it does. Come on now. Yes, it does, man. And this is why
it's too expensive. It's too expensive for people to jump in, for other companies. It's one of those where just the, if a big company say, hey, should we get into all the markets and tech? Can we get in a graphics card? And you see that 94%, like, nope.
Like, I'm good. Again, AMD has tried. Intel tried with those ARC ones. They that those shit the bed, you know?
Shit. Intel's partially owned by all of us, the taxpayers.
Which is insane. That I'm not going to get into that. I'm like, why is the government owning this company? Fucking,
we should get discounts.
Yeah, we should, right? We should.
That's it. Like, yo, I paid my taxes this year. How much do I get off on this new process?
Like, I was going to go off on a rant. I'm like, wait, is the government seizing the means of production? That sounds like something we don't advocate around here. But anyway, yeah, you answered your question, bro. Yes, it does have a monopoly. You know, just how it is, man. And we've talked about this. Their name is just so strong. That's just like when you think GPUs, you think NVIDIA. That's it. It's like, you know, there was a time where it's like when you thought, you know, when you said video games, you didn't say video games, you said Nintendo. You know, it's that type of deal. And currently, PlayStation, that's video games, you know?
But in this case, this is actually legit.
It is. Yeah, 94%.
They didn't go and start, but I mean, they didn't go after and start like poaching.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they were just better than the other one. So it's not like, oh, they're doing all the shady shit. Look at all the stuff. They're blocking stores, saying, you know, all the stuff Nintendo using other companies. Or, like, you see Facebook poaching all the other AI companies, giving them, like, $3 million contracts for developers. No, this is the case. It's just, like, they keep making better cards, and those cards are being used for other things. And I really felt like when the whole crypto system took off, just that industry, that group of people, they were using NVIDIA cards, and that really helped skyrocket. So it wasn't just gamers that were buying, or graphic designers, or editing. It was just this whole, everyone needs crypto mining, you need this type of NVIDIA card. I never heard AMD's name come up.
That's a good point.
It was always NVIDIA. And so it was just by performing. So I call that very organic, and just that if they're 94, that's the clean way to monopolize.
I like what Barry Burton said here. Jensen Huang is walking around with a monocle and a top hat, holding a sack with a dollar sign on it. That's right. But he still has his leather jacket on. You know, got to have the leather jacket. Oh man. All right. So that's gonna do it for us. Another good show. Let's start plugging some stuff. Rich, was coming up on the Coalition this week.
Yeah. So currently on thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition channel is the latest episode of our I Am Negan podcast. Mr. Adam Vale, Mr. Carlos Romero, and myself reviewing Daryl Dixon, episode 2. So check that out. Let us know what you think about the comments. As Adam has already mentioned, his Borderlands 4 review, that will be going live tomorrow morning. So definitely make sure you check that out to hear his thoughts. And there is a couple of things I am working on currently. Once again, continue to stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as The Coalition Gaming. I actually did a video for the He-Man game because I played that at PAX.
Oh, nice.
I told him the name, how it came from Theo Blanco up in the South Bronx. Strong like ox. We're like, yo, He-Man.
Yeah.
He-Man.
Yeah, He-Man.
me and Tony used to know a He-Man.
Yeah, we did. That's right. We actually did. There was a kid called He-Man in middle junior high school. Yeah, He-Man. That was the dude.
Yeah, he was a Korean. Yeah.
Yep. He-Man. Oh man. All right, Adam. Any other stuff coming up with the TV terminals?
Yeah. A lot of stuff. We have another episode of Terminal List, Dark Wolf. That's a good military shooter. A lot of craziness on there. We have also this week coming up Gen V, covering that episode 1, 2, and 3. Myself and Josh.
Is that the boys?
That's the spinoff. Not the spinoff. Well, I guess you could. It's separate. It's its own thing. Okay. But yeah, some characters do pop up. Homelander was in season 1, and a few others pop up too, just as raunchy and crazy. You know, and this is a college situation. Force. That's what the show is about. And there's a lot of stuff in it. But yeah, so that kicks off again on Wednesday. So have that full coverage for 1 through 3. And then what else? There's something else that we got. I don't know. See a lot of stuff. Of course, like Richard said, the Negan, the Coalition. But yeah, a lot of stuff. But yeah, go ahead and check it out. The TV Terminal. If you're into TV shows, covering a lot of TV.
Good stuff. By the way, Manny, when you brought up He-Man, I was, you know, I just had Ben Kenobi in my head. That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I was like, He-Man. What's up, man? Yep.
This week, we go into the finale of Chief of War, Jason Momoa's. That's it. That's this week. And okay. There will be blood.
Uh-oh.
This is violent. It's already kind of violent, but this is going to get real. So if you're into that type of stuff, go watch us on Apple and join us in the chats.
All right. So, Manny, what you got going on your end, and also what's going on with that contest? You're muted, I think. Let's see.
Yes.
No, you're good now. Yes.
There we go. So for those listening, we are showing what I call.
Well, not yet. It's still fucking loading, this piece of shit.
Is it? What the fuck?
Wait. All right. Hold on.
NVIDIA GeForce 8000
series. Yeah.
Is it just loading?
Yeah, it's still just loading.
I see it on my side, but I guess it hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
If you want to,
let Carlos try. You know,
yeah. Just go onto the Throwdown account. It's the.
You probably have some stuff going on your end.
But anyway.
Yeah, because your connection's been kind of wonky all night. Anyway.
Oh, okay. So anyway, yes. What's going on with me, at least before Carlos gets it on, is that TMNT Journeys number 2. Coming out real soon. It's a cover with 2003 Casey Jones. It's a new cover for a reprint of the Journeys series that was done by Peter Laird, so which is pretty cool from back in the day. In fact, those Journeys books are so old. I was still working on the Turtles when those things were coming out from Peter Laird's Mirage Studios. So yeah, that was their old video. So that's coming out real soon. Power Rangers 9, number with the cover fully drawn by myself, is in the streets. Again, there's all kinds of cool stuff coming, you know, coming along the way. So stay tuned for that. Carlos, have you found it yet?
No, I have no clue where it's at.
It's literally the last tweet that the Throwdown account made.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dropbox. Okay, my bad.
No. It's the Throwdown account, literally the Throwdown Twitter account.
It's the Throwdown. You know,
throw down.
Oh man!
All right, give me.
Give him a second. But that'll be fun. So yeah, we'll do the contest on Thursday. Make sure you tune in. We'll do it live. You know, we'll probably do our usual ask some kind of question, do our Wheel of Destiny, select somebody at random. Because that is the fair way of doing it. So that'll be fun. These nuts is gonna win again. That's right. Oh man. I don't know if that guy is a fan of ours anymore, because he considered me an Xbox fanboy after that and got mad at me. So I don't even know if he's not a fan.
He won the console.
He won, yeah. But it's like me and Xbox. I don't even own a fucking Xbox. Anyway, so there's the stuff. So Manny, if you want to just repeat that for people who are watching, everything you said about what's in here. Okay, maybe you don't. Yeah. All right. So yeah, you got a Big Boss poster there. You get a actual physical copy of the game. It looks like a flyer for Metal Gear Con. It's pretty cool. There's his Solid Zero book. There's a cool collector's edition. A big Solid Snake post. Yeah, but the rest of the stuff is like Manny stuff. Like he drew a picture of Big Boss, a Solid Snake, Volgin, and Ivanov, and of course Ocelot. And then there's like, looks like these are patches and a calorie yep. made as well. So that's all you get.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, man.
Yeah. Don't worry, Manny. I broke down everything that's on the screen, so you're good, you know?
Yes. So, yeah, all that stuff is what I like to call the S-Zero Delta edition of the collector's edition. So it's the collector's edition that you can get from now, minus the ID card, the steelbook, but everything else, including the patches, the original artwork, and the Solid Zero subsistence art book, which is the MGS Con edition.
Okay, that's what I was looking at. Yeah, because I was like, because I saw the MGS Con and then I saw the book. So that version of the book is the MGS Con exclusive. Very cool.
Yes, that is the MGS Con exclusive. So it's got a nice little belly band. It is what it is. So it's literally got every single bit of Metal Gear artwork that I've ever drawn in. Good stuff.
Yeah, so you have smaller versions of those posters.
Yes, so pretty much those posters are actually inside of the book. The other thing that wasn't in the original packaging is the Fox square looking or bottom right. That is a sticker. So it's a special TGS. It's a TGS sticker, sticker from TGS 2004 that you could only get for playing the demo of Metal Gear Delta. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, good stuff. So yeah, again, tune in on Thursday where we're probably just going to ask you something live and then, you know, pick somebody at random and you'll win. So yeah, it could be these nuts again. Maybe he's a fan of ours again. Barry Byrne goes, can I commission a picture of Kojima wearing a big puffy coat? Oh, man.
I mean, isn't there a photo? There's probably a photo of him already with a big puffy coat.
Probably is, yeah. So you could do, but he wants a picture of that to draw it.
That is cold. Doesn't he live in LA? It sounds like he never leaves LA.
Kojima? He lives in Tokyo, I think.
Yeah.
We see pictures of him hanging out. He has an office then, I guess.
He opened a branch of Kojima Productions in LA, but yeah. That LA office is really just for entertainment. So he just has that little small office over there. And then he's got, I think he's got a little one in, I think Denmark, where they for the Decima guys, there's Kojima production like guys over there too, but other than that, he's always in.
All right,
he's in Roppongi. I can't remember
what happened.
I said I think he's in the Roppongi prefecture.
Ooh, all right,
Roppongi Vice.
Yeah, for life. Yeah, all right, man. So we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. We've actually had a couple new people join this week, so shout out to you guys. Welcome to the the community, you know. And of course, as always, you could check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seely.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Leave it to a PlayStation fanboy to call you an Xbox fanboy when you literally gave him a PlayStation.
That's insane, man. It is what it is. This is what happens with the internet. It rots your brain, you know? Adam Vale.
A few weeks ago on here, and then I saw some new people subbed over the TV terminal, and I don't know if they came from here. So if you do sub over there, just please put a comment. Say Throwdown. Just say Throwdown.
That's
it. Making a little list, keeping track of people. You know, that way I know where they're coming from. And I give out shout-outs all. Shout you guys out. If you do, just mention Throwdown.
That's nice. Brett Murdoch.
Bro, we didn't give that PlayStation away because we didn't want it. We gave it away because we were fans. Like, just saying.
No, I think you might be right about that. Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Munjoma.
So when Silksong launched, it crashed the Steam store, PlayStation store, and Nintendo store. Which to me is proof that no one buys games on Xbox.
Oh, damn!
I mean, what's the chance? Yeah,
no, to be fair, I think it did crash Xbox Live too.
But that's the thing. It's like I can't imagine it happening on Switch. I mean, Mario games don't even crash on
it. No, the store crashed because everybody was trying to download the game. But
that's what I'm saying. When Mario Kart with the Switch 2, we didn't hear any of that. Or when Zelda.
No, Adam, you're not listening to what we're saying. But people were going into the Switch store, they were flooding it, trying to download the game, and then the whole store crashed. That's what happened.
That's fine, but it's like it amazes me because they've had bigger games come out that you have to do the same thing: purchase, download.
Yeah, no, but this game, you know, Silksong or Hollow Knight fans are a special breed. By the way, Brian, I thought that
it's a small file, right? I remember.
Yeah, small. That. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 gigs.
By the way, Brian, I thought the joke you were going to make is like Silksong crashed all these storefronts and Borderlands crashed PCs. But, you know.
Also good.
Yeah, but I think yours was better. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Remember, we're doing the Metal Gear contest, so you're going to want to tune in live at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And that'll be for Twitch and YouTube, guys. Remember, we broadcast to both now, so that'll be open to everybody, but you gotta be there live. Gotta be there live, you know? All right, later.
Laters.